welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and the beer you get at bottle shops and the people you meet at bottle shops and all those wonderful things. I am Jeff Martin, and with me as always is a man who goes by many names, but the most important of which on this day is Dad, Matt Prince.
How's it going, Jeff?
Happy Father's Day to you, Matthew.
Thank you. Yes, I technically this is my second Father's Day since having my son, but the first one was less than a week after he was born, and I was doing no celebrating whatsoever. Now I feel like I've earned it. You know, that first one, I definitely not earned anything, but after a year, I think I have earned a nice Father's Day, which I had, and I've had some nice beers, so it's been a good day all around.
I was about to ask, is your nice Father's Day coming with a nice Father's Day beer?
Yes. You know, I had a Perpetual IPA from Trogues with the Perpetual IPA cheese that Trogues did. An amazing combination. I mean, the cheese, I'd had the cheese. I'd had a bite of the cheese before. But then having it with the beer, it really brought out all these different notes in the beer and the cheese. So it was really cool. And then I had a delicious juicy pils from Warwick Farm Brewing, which is about an hour from us, Jeff. So it's about an hour north of the Philly area. You will be enjoying this beer soon because I got you a 4-pack.
Yes.
Yes. And right now I am drinking a Focal Banger because why not?
A fantastic beer. I'm enjoying right now it's literally just called Dry Hopped Amber. And okay. It is from Finkel and Garf Craft Beer in Boulder, Colorado. This is part of my beer drop. For the listeners, they're not a sponsor, at least yet. Maybe one day they'll sponsor us. But right at the beginning of the pandemic, I thought there's no chance I'm going to go to a bottle shop anytime soon. And I've since learned to the beauty of the mask and the being able to do it socially distant. And I've been in a bottle shop since then. But I decided to go to this beer drop thing, and they'll send you two each of five different kinds of beer based on the styles that you tell them that you like once a month. And they're from Colorado, and they're beers that don't distribute from Colorado. So you get a bunch of interesting beers. So this time it's a dry hopped amber, which I thought was a pretty cool combination of words.
Okay. Sounds like a fun beer to be enjoying.
So, Matt, I mentioned that I, at the beginning of the pandemic, was not interested in the idea of going into a bottle shop, but have since been. And you and I have talked a lot about our home bottle shop,
yes,
which is Pinocchio's Beer Garden in Media, Pennsylvania. They were sort of, I don't know if they were the first, but they were among the early bottle shops in the area. They're now 9-10 years old, something like that.
Yeah, they've been around for quite a bit. Yeah, 10 years, because I'm drinking out of their 10th birthday glass, their 10th anniversary glass, which I got when we went to their anniversary party just this past winter. So 10 years going strong, and I'm really excited for today's episode because we are going to be interviewing the manager of the bottle shop, Alex Morris.
Alex is the person responsible for selecting the beer that makes it to the shelf and, you know, just sort of managing the personality and the selection at the bottle shop overall. So we're really excited to talk to Alex and sort of see what goes into it.
Yeah, I mean, especially now during the pandemic, you know, the experience is different, not only for the customer, but also for the people working there. So every time I've gone in there and seen Alex, he's, you know, got his mask on, and before any transaction, before any time he touches anything, he's using hand sanitizer. So I think that, you know, I'm really interested to talk to him about all that, but also just what got him into the craft beer industry. And there's so much, you know, I want to know, because, you know, our whole podcast is based off of bottle shops, and I'm pretty psyched.
So we're excited to have him on right now. Let's welcome to the podcast Alex Morris, manager at Pinocchio's Beer Garden.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, Alex, the first question we like to ask our guests, though you're our first, but it's the question we first asked each other, is what got you into craft beer to begin with?
Oh, that's funny. I was always just drinking the regular crap, and then I had a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and I actually absolutely hated it. And then I had another one, and I was like, wait a minute. And then pretty soon, I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to drink anything else, you know. So I mean, I drank that beer for like a year, and then I got curious about, you know, what else there was, and it just, you know, went from there. It's a classic story. I mean, Sierra Nevada Pale. You know, what else? It's got to be for a lot of us, right?
Right. It's funny, you know. Whenever someone says that beer, you know, it kind of seems cliche, but it's not. It's like so authentic. It's such an authentic story that so many people have. You know, mine was Troganator. You know, I've shared that story before. I stole it out of my frat brother's fridge. You know, I saw it sitting there and I had no clue what it was. And I drank that, but for so many people. And Jeff, what was yours again?
Number nine, Magic Hat number nine.
Number nine, that's a good one.
And it's funny because like a lot of the beers that people say got them into craft beer, they haven't had in a while. And then you go back and you have one and you're like, I remember that first feeling. It's such like a good nostalgic feeling that you have. At least I've had it, but when I go back and drink Troganator, it's something I really enjoy.
I'm right there with you. I treasure Sierra Nevada Pale Ale to this day.
So I, you know, I've gotten to know you over the years at Pinocchio's Beer Garden. So how did you get your start at Pinocchio's?
Oh, that's funny. So I'd spent a year in New Zealand after college, and then I moved back to Philly and wasn't doing anything. Dan worked there at the time, so I was coming in to buy beer there because that's where you could get good beer. And Tim was like, we need somebody to stock. And I was like, oh, I'll do it for, you know. I think I was trying to just do it for weekends and find an actual job. Right. Very quickly, I was there all the time. So it just, you know, that's what happened.
Alex, you know, it's very exciting to see a lot of the beers that have made their way onto the shelves at Pinocchio's. What is the one beer or brewery that has made its way onto the shelf that you're just shocked to see when you look into the cases at Pinocchio's?
You know, there's so many of them because when I started there, there were beers I was sure we'd never get that we get pretty regularly. I mean, the one that really blows my mind when I see it is, again, it's a little bit cliche, but we have Hetty Topper on the shelf now. Certainly not all the time, but, you know, with some regularity. And it'll be there for a couple days. You know, people come in and be like, do you have any Focal? You know, just, yeah, you know, pass right over it. Not all the time, of course, but, I mean, for me, that's the most striking one. I used to drive there. You know, we'd drive up. We'd leave at, like, 3 in the morning, drive up, buy, you know, whatever the limit was, be back that night, get drunk. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Maybe sleep an hour in a parking lot, maybe if we needed to, you know. But so that's a real thrill for me because that was like the first time I was like, well, I guess I could drive 8 hours for beer.
As the listeners already know, as I said earlier on in the episode, I'm actually enjoying a Focal Banger right now that I bought at Pinocchio's. Ah. So yeah, so it's exciting for me to hear you say that because I agree. I remember the first time I walked in there and you guys had it, and I thought it was a dream. I thought I was dreaming. I was like, pinch me. Like, how is this beer even here? Because previously, the only time I had gotten it was because someone went up to Vermont to get it. And, you know, it's pretty incredible that, you know, it occasionally makes its way onto the shelves at Pinocchio's.
So, Alex, when you walk into Pinocchio's, the first two fridges are kind of new and local. And I would suspect that the answer to my next question is new and local. But what are some of the best-selling beers at the bottle shop? Is it those two fridges, or are there some standbys or some old classics that still get a lot of play?
Right, that's a good question. So individual cans, it is always whatever's newest that sells best. But sheer volume in the beer garden, Perpetual has long been the number one beer. It's been overtaken during quarantine by Fathead's Strange Magic 15 packs. But I don't know if that'll keep up. I think that's because Strange Magic's new. But Perpetual is still, I mean, not crazy numbers. Again, we're not a volume shop, but you know, we probably do 5 cases of Perpetual a week out of the beer garden. So that's usually, you know, the number one beer, which is cool. But by singles, it is. It's always whatever the newest IPA is.
And I contributed to the Perpetual purchasing this past week. I grabbed one so I could pair it with that beer cheese I was talking to you about, Jeff. earlier in the episode. You know, it was awesome to pair it with the cheese that they're doing.
The listeners are going to think that Matt talked to Alex about his beer order for the week because Matt has mentioned every beer you've mentioned as what you've been drinking today for Father's Day.
Yeah, yeah, I've been enjoying the things that are popular. So sue me.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good.
So I know, right? So are there any beers that you get excited about, you see them coming into the shop, that just don't land with the customers, that just you kind of see sitting there on the shelf and you can't believe that they're just sitting there on the shelf?
That happens all the time. It's usually, basically, it'll be any style that is an IPA. If I like an IPA, it'll sell. You know, in part because of the popularity style, but in part because I've been drinking with my customers for, I don't know, 8 years now. I mean, we're fairly in tune as far as that goes.
Right.
But, you know, if we'll get a Saison in, and I'll be like, oh, this is perfect. You know, and it just won't appeal to anybody else. It happens all the time with lagers. I was actually thrilled. So 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, we started getting Love City in on the shelf, which I'm excited about. And I was like, man, this Pilsner is tasting absolutely great. And it actually sold out, which I couldn't believe because, you know, every other time, you know, that would mean we'd sell three cans and I would drink the rest.
So I take it that you do those emails that I get every Thursday at 4 o'clock.
That is, because, yeah, that's me being as honest as I can be. Yep.
Because you raved about that Pilsner in the email. And I mean, people, I would assume, and I do the same thing, when you say, you know, your IPA pick of the week, or you say what you enjoy, I think, like you said, you've been drinking with your customers for 8 years, people trust you. So do you feel like an added pressure to, you know, give a really honest and well-represented opinion of these beers because you know people are going to buy them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I you know, not even if I'm wrong, but just say if people disagree, they'll reply to that email. They'll come in and tell me. You know what I mean? There's nowhere to hide at Pinocchio's, you know?
Right. No,
everything's right there, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, it is a little bit of pressure, but that's the part about it I like. You know what I mean? If the people weren't involved, I don't know if I'd still be doing it.
Right.
Alex, is there something that you've tried to get on the shelves, but because of their distribution or, you know, other myriad reasons, you haven't been able to secure?
That happens all the time. Anytime I like a beer that we don't carry, I try to shoot them an email just to see what's up. And tons of the time, you know, the brewery will be like, yeah, we're not going to distribute that yet. You know, usually they say yet, you know. Like Imprint, the first time I emailed them, the guy was just like, we have no plans to distribute. And then he started sending us kegs like a year later. And I was like, hey, that's great. And, you know, the email made a difference, but, you know, that's just something, I think that's just good practice. You have a good beer, you're like, wow, you know, might as well tell them, you know, even if nothing comes of it.
Is there anything on the horizon that you think, like, will excite the customers, any brewery that you think might start distributing soon? Even now, I know a lot of breweries that didn't previously distribute are distributing more because of the coronavirus. Do you think there's a brewery that's coming up that you think might really excite the customers?
So the problem with that is normally I'd have a good answer to that question, but now I don't know what anybody's going to do. Like normally, right, you know, you'd expect people to more or less stick to a plan. People are, you know, especially when this started, people were freaking out, you know, so I actually don't have as much info about that as I would like. I don't know what people's plans are. It's
right.
Like when this first, you know, when the virus first struck, a lot of the breweries canned off everything they had. And I was trying to order draft that week and they were just like, no, it doesn't exist now.
Right.
And that's still kind of true. We got our first, you know, Headhunter's one we've had on tap for years. We got our first keg of it back this week, and we don't have a backup for it. So we're going to be out of that again, which is, you know, for me, unheard of, you know?
Right.
Alex, what has life in the bottle shop been like during the pandemic? You know, it's a small shop. It's tough to get a decent number of people in there. I was in there a couple weeks ago, and it was three of us, and it felt crowded then, but everyone was wearing the mask and being responsible. So what's it like having people come in just to take beer and leave with it?
Well, you know, when it first started, I felt pretty good about it because we're definitely safer than the supermarket. But it is weird as we've you know, now that we're yellow phased, there's a whole group of people out there that thinks that they can do whatever they want now. So unfortunately, more of my week is yelling at people to wear masks and kicking them out of the store than I would really like. That is unfortunate, but you know, all in all, it's safer than the supermarket. I feel very confident about that. I know how often we clean. I can keep the door open. It's certainly strange. I'm used to it being packed with people and, you know, only having like, I think the most we let in is four, you know, it does feel strange, but.
Are you finding that people are people coming in to support the bottle shop? There was a big push to support your local brewery and, you know, they really got on early with the curbside pickup. But Matt and I have been talking about, you know, how do you support your local bottle shop? So have people been intentionally coming in just to make sure that you guys keep getting, you know, their weekly $20?
There's certainly people that have been doing that and I really appreciate it. But it really hasn't been a lot of that I've seen. It's people buying beer the most convenient way for them. That's my average customer still. But yeah, there are people that have made special trips and I do really appreciate it, but that is not my regular customer right now.
So when this is all over, hopefully, you know, it will be all over at some point. What are you most excited about in terms of the bottle shop moving forward? Like what excites you?
Right. So I've spent a lot of time in the past couple years trying to turn the bottle shop into essentially a bar with an extremely good to-go selection. And that all went away, you know, overnight.
Right.
We stopped being able to pour beer. So, I mean, it's a simple answer. I'm excited to start getting people in to try great kegs again. Draft beer is what I want to drink. I think it's what people should drink. And I think that is how a bottle, like a small bottle shop, stays open. People come in to have a pint and then maybe take a beer or two home with them. I don't expect to move volume out of a small bottle shop. I mean, if it happens, that's great. But I don't see that as the way forward.
And, I mean, I guess the Crowler kind of bridges the gap between those two ideas. You know, you want to push your draft beer. And, I mean, when I look at your draft list and, you know, you see Tired Hands and you see Grimm and you see – sometimes you see Equilibrium and you see all those – Aslan, I know, has showed up on the shelves and cans and on the tap list. You know, Do you think like it makes more sense for people to grab a couple Crowlers if they're gonna come in to go? Do you think it makes more sense for the buyer to grab the Crowlers versus the cans because maybe the tap list is so great?
That's my hope. I hope it makes more sense to get draft for lots of reasons, but you know the most straightforward one is brewers that don't have to can don't want to. All the good brewers would rather sell me kegs than cans, and that's the best way to get the best beer. So that's how I want to sell it to consumers. I want to sell the best beer. I mean, simple as that. Right now, the only kegs I can get are local kegs. It might make more sense to buy that from the brewery directly because they're all really close. So right now, probably cans, you know, on the shelf are a better way to go. My hope is to always make Crowlers be the more sensible option. It's not always possible, but that's the hope.
Do you get the sense that when this is all over, that these breweries that you've been getting beer from, breweries like Aslan, breweries like Grimm, do you get the sense that you're going to keep getting beers from them? Or do you think that'll kind of trail off because, you know, they're going to be distributing their or doing more draft beer?
It'll be brewery by brewery for sure. I expect the two that you mentioned to continue to send stuff because I've talked to them a little bit. So I think I know what their intentions are. For the most part, unfortunately, those come through wholesalers. So it's out because they're out of state. They have to come through wholesalers.
Right.
I only deal with brewery, you know, in PA. So I can't tell them that I'll treat their beer better than anybody else, even though I think I will. because it'll come through the wholesaler. So that's the pitch I like to make to people, because when we get your keg, we will tap it right away. That it seems like a basic thing, but it is not what everybody does. People are, I don't know what they're doing. It's like curating beer museums, you know?
Right. It's like people who collect cans in their fridge. Like they want to take a picture of their beer fridge with all these beautiful cans in it. And they, right. I see those pictures and I'm like, are they even going to drink that beer? Cause how are they going to drink all that beer fresh enough to really enjoy it?
It kills me to see a beer getting worse for no reason. You know, somebody could be enjoying that right now and it tastes great. And that's how I feel about it. And I think, you know, those two breweries especially, that's how they feel about it. I don't know if we'll keep seeing the cans we're seeing from them, but I do expect to see drafts from both of them.
Well, Alex, I certainly hope that this is the first of many guest spots from you on the podcast as sort of our Bottle Shop Insider. We probably could do 12 more episodes just, you know, pressing stop and then pressing start and record again, but we'll let you go.
Yeah, let me know. I'd be happy to come back sometime. This is just like being in the shop. This is what I do. I love talking beer with people. I know you guys pretty well, you know, no trouble at all.
It's as close as we're going to get right now. And I'm sure you will see, you know, at least one or both of our faces this week. And if you're in the southeastern Pennsylvania area, especially Delaware County, get over to Pinocchio's Beer Garden, see Alex, buy some beer from him. He will never, ever steer you wrong on beer. Alex, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our thanks to Alex Morris for joining us. Matt, our first guest on the podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, Jeff, I love talking to you, but it's nice to like have a little company. Like, it's nice to hear another voice on here. But, you know, hopefully we'll have more guests in the future and it can be something a little to shake up this podcast a little bit and for the positive.
Absolutely. We welcome anyone who might be interested in being a guest. Reach out to us on social media. We welcome you to give us your opinion of the podcast. We're on Instagram at Shelfie Podcast. You can find us at shelfiepodcast.com. We post our streams of the episode there. We also have an open comment section where you can tell us what you think of our topic of the day. We also write some beer reviews, and you can, you know, agree or disagree with us about those opinions. Matt, I'm sure, might put up something about this Juicy Pils that he had soon. So I'm excited to see that. I'm more excited to drink it.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on, let's be real here. It's way more fun drinking beer than reading about it.
It's a little bit fun to read about it, though. At least I hope so for the listeners. So that'll do it for this week. Again, our thanks to Alex Morris and our thanks in advance to future guests that we hope to have. Until next time, I am Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.